Welcome to Desert Wales Podcast, Season 2, Episode 1.
Oh, yeah!
The three of us are back. Tommy,
Greg,
and Richard.
To come in your ears.
trust me, it's going to be a very, very pleasurable experience for every single one of you. Not judging by the shite that we've got in this week's podcast.
Same shite as we had last time's podcast.
So we've got our reading, watching, playing. We've got why we've been away for...
Where have we been?
Yeah.
Well, what have we been doing? Nobody knows.
But they'll find out. You will find out in roughly like 30 seconds time. And...
they've got someone else at the end.
It's a quiz.
Glorious quiz.
Talk about glorious returns, eh?
Glorious returns for the glorious quiz.
Let's get on with it. Birding! Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Desert Wheels are back. We're back, boys. We are back.
Like all the good things in life, we've returned.
Aye. Like a mouthful of salt water. You just can't keep us down.
Like Jesus.
Back for our second coming. Yeah, this is what we're going to call it, season two.
And Whisper Golds.
Whisper Golds, well.
Oh, and Trios. You heard this?
No.
Trios?
Trios the Biscuits are coming back.
The ones with the adverts.
Yeah.
Trio!
Yeah.
Trio! We'll take our check, Trio, whenever you're ready.
Yeah. Coincidence that we're coming back the same thing as Trios? I think not.
I'm sure they're sponsored by Biscuits!
That'd be amazing.
There is a good reason why we've been away, to be honest with you. And for those of you out there that are listening that don't know, and assumed we were lying when we said we've got our own comic, we actually do have our own comic, and it's out now, and it's for sale in like two shops in Edinburgh and anywhere else that you want to buy it from. We'll accept your cash
in person.
Pretty much at the moment,
it's in person. It's pretty much in person. We will, however, cheap plug, be at the Dunfermline Comic Con on March 5th.
Oh, yes.
Look for the venue yourself, because I've forgotten what it's called. Something Pavilion in Dunfermline.
The Dunfermline Pavilion. I don't know if that's the name.
Anyway, so
it's in Dunfermline. It's a Comic Con, and it's on Saturday, March 5th of March. I don't think there's going to be another one.
That's very true. I think that's probably about it for plugging that. But we will be there. We will be selling, and you know. I think we're still working on getting it online. So if you're listening, obviously you guys in like China and New Zealand and just however far this podcast reaches, yeah, Wales maybe. I'm willing to accept payment. Anyway, it's a process that had us all ripping our damn hair out. Tommy and I are now bald. Greg's getting there.
I like it how I'm not the bald one. That's the first time it's ever been said.
Oh, you're getting there.
Oh yeah, definitely. But,
it's like the post-production stuff is
shite.
It was labour intensive and it was a massively steep learning curve.
Hugely.
It was shite. It was It's really annoying because you basically got the thing finished and be like, we've got it, but we can't get it out.
Yeah.
I said to myself about half a dozen times last year, now we've finished the plate. Now we've finished it.
It's all done. We just need to put the other 99% of it together. having the drawing done, having the writing done was fine. PDF in it, easy peasy. Everything from there. I'm having flashbacks. This is like PTSD just now.
I was having to try and letter it ourselves. I think lettering is such an unsung skill. I think you're like, it's letters on a page. How difficult can that be? Very difficult.
Extremely difficult. Even just getting spacing right, you know, we had to take dialogue out of panels just to make it fit onto the page.
Yeah, that's probably our fault though for being bad writers.
Completely our fault, actually. Yeah. What else was there? What was the work on your side, Tommy?
Page sizing on my side was horrendous because I didn't use the correct required page sizes. So I had to reassemble entire pages sometimes. Cutting and pasting panel by panel onto the correct size canvas, and making sure it all fit into the bleeds and the trim and the livery and stuff like that, which I wasn't aware of needed to be done until the end. It'd be really handy if we did it at the start, but again,
so
no one taught us how to do this, man.
No, that's it.
We're all just going for it. So there's loads of that stuff at the on the back end, and but we've all done it now. We've made all the mistakes.
Yeah,
but I think we've made all the mistakes you can pretty much.
Oh, why? Well, yeah, the way we made mistakes even that we didn't even think were possible. So you would consider things being mistakes, such as like the once you'd done the page resizings, like some of them turned out blurry after they'd been done PDFing.
Aye,
no idea where that was.
Then we did them all again.
Aye, it's still a mystery.
Aye,
I don't know why, but I know that I just had to use different software to compile them into one PDF, and it worked.
Oh, well, what was the software you used?
It's called Phantom Foxit, I think it was called, and it was on my laptop, and I just had to sign up for a free trial for 30 days.
So we did the next thing you need.
With a different email address.
Oh yeah, true.
How to scam.
But yeah.
My favourite was when we done all the... Well, my favourite mistake that I made was when I done all the lettering on one of the pages and completely messed up a sentence.
Oh, yeah.
Completely messed up the sentence. And then Tommy resized it all and got it all PDF'd, and I was like, oh, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, there were a few awkward evenings on the WhatsApp chat.
There was, actually. There was.
It was the funniest one was when we were like, right, it's like our third attempt, it's all now officially done. Let us read through it.
But the second yeah, thing, like, yeah,
it's done. And then I was just like, kind of like, oh guys, I've noticed something. And Richard was like, ah, you're kidding away. And I was like, oh shit, no, I'm not. I've actually noticed something. We've got to do it again.
Yeah, there was. I'm sure I've purged some of those memories from my mind. I just don't want to go back and think about any of them, but. It was pretty stressful anyway, but yeah, as you say, Tommy, nobody taught us. These are the pitfalls.
Exactly, lessons were learned.
Yeah, this is us doing
the hard way.
The hard way.
DIY, man.
DIY.
But
that's the thing. I mean, it's not like we can just go, right, Mr. Comic Book Publisher, here's our work. This is what we've done.
Fix it for us.
Aye, do it.
You
all.
Go and do the rest. Yeah, we had to do it all ourselves.
So. I suppose the benefit of it is that. Despite all of the mistakes that we did make, and mistakes are the best ways to learn sometimes, we each treated it like it was our child, basically. It was, you know, we wanted it to be
perfect.
Look as good as, but yeah, be perfect, basically. And it was a labour of love at the end of it, even though you're sitting there sometimes just going, I wish I'd never even started writing this in the first place. But it's tremendously prideful feeling once it's done, and you know, getting that first test copy in our hands was like one of the proudest moments ever. It was awesome. It was brilliant just having it sitting in your hand, thinking like this has been literally a few years of work that we've all done that's now
aye,
a physical thing that people are quite interested in reading.
The thing that gets me after doing all that though is someone gets it and then blasts through it in about 4 minutes and goes, that was good, aye.
Yeah. Even worse when somebody goes, I don't really get it.
Right. Oh, yeah. My dad's been asking about it for like years and years and years, and I gave him it. He's like, nah, I don't get it. Oh, cheers, Dad.
This doesn't make sense.
That doesn't make sense. I don't understand what you're doing. Oh, yeah, cool. Never mind, Dad. Cheers.
Just give me that back.
Thanks. Okay. Thanks.
I'll just roll it up and hit you on the head with it.
I've had some really good in-depth feedback from other people, though, I must admit. Which kind of makes it worthwhile.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not that it's bad hearing, it's good.
No, but I know what you mean. It's like that there's a lot of folk who, which has kind of surprised me, there's been a lot of folk since we put it online. Well, I'll say that, we'll put it on Facebook. There's been folk come along and say, I want a copy, and I would never associate somebody,
yeah.
Most of these people were reading books. I don't think they do read comic books, I think they just...
Oh, it's the support though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good.
It's brilliant that people come out and support you anyway.
Mm. Absolutely.
For sure. And I know,
we appreciate all the support we can get.
Yeah, sure. And I mean, like, there's tons of people that we're willing to, like, say thanks to, but there's some that stick out. First of all, Dave Cook, who's really, really helpful to us in getting together some bits and pieces for after we'd finished and we'd got it printed and you know where to sell it, this, that, and the other thing. Rich Hardiman of
yes,
what's the name of this?
Commentprintinguk.com.
Commentprintinguk.com. Rich Hardiman.
Rich the legend. The printing legend.
That's the one. Rich,
what does
legend.
He do?
He prints comics.
And like literally anybody who's whether you read it or not, whether you like it or not, anybody who's bought a copy so far, thanks very much for supporting us and making this all seem worthwhile, because we've got a lot to do and we've got
shit loads to do.
Yeah, and we've got more to write, and we're halfway through the second issue writing wise, and you know, we'll be in there. We'll be in there for a long time. We're gonna be in there. It's a tremendously straining process, but a thoroughly rewarding one once you've got it done.
I think as well, on the back of when you sent us a picture of Forbidden Planet.
Oh yeah, we're in selling Forbidden Planet in
Forbidden Planet, but you said you sent us a picture, and it was like our book right beside Mark Miller. I was like,
yeah, the Kingsman.
That's a bit weird.
Yeah. I don't know why it was there, because it was local independent. Right? Is Mark Miller classed as that? Is that Miller?
I thought it was a genius bit of tactical rearranging on your part, Richard, when you went in.
Oh, I didn't touch it. They'd obviously just thought to themselves that Kingsman needed a wee bit of G'ing up, so they put it beside us. They'll get a few more sales in the back of that, you know what I mean? That'll be fine.
Basically buy a copy of Kingsman and get a copy of this free.
Yeah, we literally don't benefit.
Yeah, that'd be ace.
We're in Forbidden Planet in Edinburgh, and we're in Deadhead Comics in Edinburgh. Deadhead Comics being the small independent,
hugely famous around Edinburgh, around these parts.
But a locally owned business.
Yeah,
but Forbidden Planet being the big UK franchise monster business.
Yeah.
And we're getting stocked in both of them.
Yeah, so.
Which is cool. It's really cool. It's quality.
Yeah, brilliant.
We've not had any feedback on the sales as yet, because we just went in there last week. It was just literally last week.
We went in there on Saturday, and I went in on Monday night just to see them on the shelves. Because it was a really like self-indulgent thing to do, but at the same time, who wouldn't, you know? Like,
how many copies of The Blight over there? Do you want one? No.
We haven't sold any, but you know, we've got a job to do promoting it and all that.
Got to start somewhere.
Business started. Yeah, exactly. So that's basically why we put the podcast to the side for the last few months, because we've all been pretty desperate to get back to it, because it's fun chatting shit into a mic, knowing that. Like four people listen to us, but you know, who cares?
Us.
Yeah, us plus one.
I don't listen to
us. No, we're down us now.
Oh my god, Tommy.
But there you go. We're back on form now. And
well.
Form remains to be seen. Yeah, exactly. But as I say, class is permanent. So let's go with read and watch and play, shall we, chaps? Ba-ding! I just forgot the bell! class permanent. Coming back on a staple piece of our Desert Wales diet, Season 2, Episode 1 reintroduces Read and Watch and Play and
Reboots it.
I fucking hate reboots. Well, Episode 2. You can listen to our rebooting conversation between me and Greg.
Is that Episode 2?
That's Season 1, Episode 2.
Season 1, Episode 2. Yeah, that's right.
That's when there was no budget.
There was. What's the budget like now, actually?
Well, we've got some beer.
Really? We were recording in the Fortress of Solitude. we're gonna go straight into if you don't watch a plane. Now, who's first?
I'll go first.
Tommy is first. Tommy.
I've been reading.
No
surprise,
way!
Surprise.
Right, I've been reading some Batman stuff. Right, now if I said to you, No Man's Land, would you know what I was talking about? Greg, nodding.
Yes. No. Sorry, I realise I am nodding and you can't hear that.
That's what I said.
I mean, I know too, but you'll have to explain for the listeners.
You have to explain for them. Okay. It's a big storyline that happened in I think it was in the year 2000 or the start of the 2000s anyway. And it's like this big mega storyline, like a crossover, but not like a conventional crossover. So basically all the Bat books, there was a massive status quo change that spread across all the Bat books.
Status quo. The band. Quality band.
So basically what happens is there's an earthquake in Gotham City, and through various kind of political underhanded dealings, Gotham gets announced a no man's land.
Oh, right, cool.
It gets quarantined from the rest of America. Some people make it out of Gotham before it gets quarantined, and some people don't.
Nice.
Including all the villains, obviously they're still there.
Standard.
Convenient.
There's loads of civilians that have been left behind. Some were too old to get away in time, some were just weren't interested in going, they wanted to stay and try and help the city and stuff. And obviously Batman's still there. And all the Bat family, including like Huntress and Azrael.
That's
a good guy. Yes. So what makes this different from a like a proper like kind of crossover as you know it or as you think of it is it's not like an event, it was just a status quo change. So every Bat book was set in Gotham post-earthquake. And it's crazy, like the amount of detail that they've put into this backdrop, because it's just they're just telling stories in a different backdrop. So Gotham City is completely different. It's broken up into all these different territories, led by all these different gangs, mostly villains, but there's some other people who have got gangs as well, like Gotham Police Department have got their own gang.
Oh, nice. Oh, right, okay.
And they go around tagging areas of Gotham with the they've all got spray paint, they've all got their own tags. And that's how you know you're in their area.
That's cool.
It is pretty cool, man.
Is this quite a widely known story?
It is actually, but it was just it's so big. I'm on the first book, I've got the second book coming, there's four of them all together, there's like 2,000 pages of story involved. But it's not like you read one story and then it leads on to the next. It's all these kind of like
episodes.
Little, yeah, that's what it's
oh,
like.
Wow. That sounds cool. Is that like a load of different writers, artists and
yeah,
all that?
Yeah, because there's like every Bat book, so it was like Batman Detective Comics, there's Azrael, there's Shadow of the Bat, Batman Chronicles, and loads of different writers and artists.
Oh, nice.
Including Greg Rucka, who started Greg Rucka's Batman stuff.
Oh, nice.
He's a really good writer. And it's great. It's so cool. They've went really in-depth and really thought about it, so all the kind of old methods of the way Batman works don't work anymore, and all the old methods of the way the villains work kind of don't work anymore in this new climate that they're in. The things that are expensive that the criminals would go around and steal and stuff, they're not expensive in no man's land.
That loses its value.
Right,
they lose
yeah,
value,
yeah.
But in things like bicycles, torches,
water,
these are all mega expensive, and you couldn't swap like a gallon of water for a fucking £1 million painting. Say for instance in no man's land, because nobody needs it. You need it's what you need to survive.
I just do that and then leave.
You can't leave though, because it's the military, so I've got it surrounded.
Military, there's always a way.
No, it's really good. I like how it's self-contained, different climate. It's given them a chance to tell these really interesting different Batman stories that you'd never read before.
It sounds like they've almost like it's kind of like a way that they've managed to take like sort of Batman and make it kind of like sort of post-apocalyptic sort of
set in like Batman systems
and all that sort of stuff. Which is quite cool, because you would never usually get that those characters in those kind of situations. Did they do something similar with the 52 stuff in the Dark Knight? I'm sure they had like something similar where it was like Scarecrow and fuck's his name. Was it Bane or Mr. Freeze? One of the two, I think one of the two of them took like over territories of Gotham and stuff like that, but it was that run was terrible.
Arkham War, I think it was called.
Is that?
I think so.
That's it.
Didn't read it.
No, it wasn't very good.
But it's like, it's not a storyline, well, it is, but it's like a big mega storyline. So it's not like you start, No Man's Land happens, then in the middle, it's like they're fighting over it, and then by the end of the storyline, everyone's back to normal. This is what it's like, and they get the chance to tell these little kind of stories, like you said, Greg, episodes within this setting. To this backdrop, it's quality.
That's cool. That sounds great.
Really cool.
That sounds really good. So, I mean, how far are you through reading that just now?
I finished the first book.
How many books are there?
There's four.
Four, right.
And they're about 500 pages a pop, so they're quite thick, but I'm eating it up because it's great.
It.
Yeah.
Sweet. That sounds great.
Oh, yeah, it's really good.
It's quite good when you get someone like that's got a thing up beginning and an end as well, rather than just sort of continuously ongoing and going and going.
That's it. It's not like I read the next one, it's like this is part 6 or this is part 8. It's like they're just little 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 issue storylines. So some are a wee bit longer, but it's really good.
Cool.
Really, really good.
That sounds class.
So it's a recommendation from Tommy.
Oh yeah.
From Tommy to you.
Oh yeah.
Dear listener, and probably me actually, I don't like who get involved in that. Cool. Nice one. Greg.
Yes. Watch it.
I should go back to say, Tommy, you done Tommy.
Yeah, but
I've done this before and you've had a half your pound went in the half, so sorry. Greg.
Yes, I have been watching. I've been watching two things. One of them I believe you guys have also been watching as well. In fact, I think everybody's been watching it.
EastEnders, isn't it?
EastEnders it is, aye. So
I've never heard of that before.
It's class. it's like
tell me about it.
It's like Batman, but set in London, and all the characters you just want to die. No, I haven't been watching EastEnders, sadly.
You've been watching
Coronation Street. No, I've been watching Making a Murderer along with everybody else under the sun.
Yeah.
I've also been watching two. I'm a crazy bastard. I'm
a greedy bastard.
I know, what can I say? Which I shouldn't do too, because next time I'll fucking struggle with watching it. I've also been watching The Man in the High Castle on Amazon Prime. Seen it?
Nope.
Nope. Good. Good, right, it's fine. So, Making a Murderer then, aye? No, quickly, The Man in the High Castle. Man in the High Castle is, I've seen it advertised. It's an Amazon Prime show, so automatically I was against it. Because I was like, fuck that, I've not got Prime, I'm not watching that shit. So in my head, because I couldn't see it, it was shit.
It was rubbish.
It was shit. Yeah. And then Christmas, Mr. Santa Claus, God rest his soul. he brought me a Kindle and I got free Prime. So I was like, oh, happy days. So so yeah, I only thought, oh, I've been watching it on the bus. That's a new thing, Billy. Watch things on the bus. It is.
So you're the one that takes up the Wi-Fi usage for everyone
oh,
else.
Oh, no, no. I did not take up the Wi-Fi. I'm prepared. I have stuff downloaded before I get on the bus. Yeah, okay. I'm that guy.
I'll let you off then.
But it's really, really good. It's based on a book by, I can't remember the boy's name.
It's Lucky Dick.
Yes. How did you ken that?
I just do. Oh, well, I'm a font of knowledge.
Oh, good. Okay. Fair enough. Good. The concept is really simple. And yet really confusing, and I'm surprised it hasn't been sort of done by somebody since. It's basically alternative universe, or is it? Mm-hmm. Where Germany and Japan win the Second World War, and they basically take over America. They win all the battles, all the major battles of the Second World War. America don't invent the nuclear bomb, the atomic bomb. Germany do,
oh, nice.
And Germany use it, and what it is now is any American citizen is now either German or Japanese or American. There's basically three bits. America split into three zones. On the east, you've got like New Germany. On the west, you've got Japan. I don't know what that's called. New Japan, we'll say. And then in the middle is like the neutral zone. And that like, so basically is there to separate the two territories. And it's like a really run-down bit where like anything kind of goes.
The ghetto.
In the ghetto, yeah.
No man's land.
Oh, it's Gotham. That'd be, oh man. See, they put Batman in this, that'd be very sweet.
Put Batman in anything.
The Second World War.
But, I know, it's set in the 1960s, and basically the concept of it is there is like a resistance, standard American resistance, but they find these films, like these old films, and when they watch the films are actually footage of what really happened, like America winning the war.
Ooh.
And like Britain winning the
in
war.
In our reality.
And what it is basically like they're trying to, the resistance are trying to find all these films and like, take them, and they're trying to get them to the man in the high castle. And whereas Germany and Japan are trying to obviously find them and keep everyone down, do you know what I mean? Like try and break the resistance and whatever. And to be honest, that's pretty much the concept of like season one. Like there's not, it's been renewed again for season two, which is class, but there's not a great deal to it, and it kind of sounds a bit silly, like all these American guys, because like the main American Nazi, if you like, is called John Smith, so he couldn't have a less Nazi name.
Johann Schmidt.
and it's kind of funny seeing these people like walking about in like full Nazi gear, and every single person ends a phone call with like "Hail Hitler," or "Hi Hitler," and all that sort of stuff, and they'll give the Nazi salutes and stuff, and you're like, it could be done quite cheesy and quite cringeworthy, but it's actually really believable. It's really well done.
So if somebody's having like a funny conversation and they're like, "Oh, I've got to go, Hail Hitler."
pretty much what happened. It's just really good. I mean, like they've thought about things that would actually kind of happen. Like Hitler's still alive, he lives in Berlin, Hitler's still alive, but he's got Parkinson's. Mm-hmm. So he's essentially dying. And it's kind of about, well, there's like a sort of undercurrent of what happens when he dies.
The vacuum of power.
What's going to happen? Germany have got all these nuclear weapons, and the relationship between Japan and Germany is quite kind of fractured, if you like. And basically Japan are like, well, Germany have defeated everyone before and invaded everyone before, so why not us again? Do you know what I mean? So it's kind of like, but it's cool, man. There's so many, it's cast really, really well. And in fact, A Knight's Tale. Remember that? You ever seen A Knight's Tale?
Nope.
Well, Heath
Ledger. Yeah,
Heath Ledger. Kind of bad guy in Knight's Tale. I don't know his name. Rupert someone. Anyway, I've never seen the boy in anything apart from The Knight's Tale.
Rupert Everett?
No.
I don't know, Rupert.
It might have made that. Rupert the Bear. He plays the main German bad guy, and he's class. He's absolutely brilliant. It's amazing. It kind of sounds gay, but I can just listen to him talk. He speaks really soft and like.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with
finding him attractive.
Well, you can if you want. That's entirely up to you.
It's just when he's wearing Nazi uniform on, man. He's kind of no, but it's great. It's absolutely great. I was
classic.
You get your missus to get.
What, Nazi uniform?
If she doesn't already have one, which I'm guessing she might actually.
Mm-hmm. I'm not.
Neither confirm nor deny.
Very, I shall confirm. No. I would highly recommend it. It's not like anything I've watched. It's quite slow in places, but I mean, fucking, I like that. I don't mind dying slow, but it's got a decent story behind it.
Is it a Philip K. Dick short story that they've just kind of extrapolated and?
It's an actual novel. But I don't know how long the book is.
It's a standard length, maybe maybe 300 pages or so. I think standards.
The thing was, I wasn't sure if season one covered the whole thing. I wasn't, because they weren't sure if it was going to be. Like renewed, it was one of these things that Amazon put a pilot out, just one episode,
yeah.
And seen how folk reacted.
Yeah.
And apparently, I think it was their most successful pilot they've put out.
They do a pilot voting thing, pilot season thing, but they don't vote. I think they put them out there and they kind of rate, analyse
what folk are watching, what
exactly,
they like,
and what they like.
No, it's great. Honestly, I'd recommend it. It's really, really good.
Cool.
I'm very much enjoying it.
Good.
So you're reformed. You're a prime man now. Would you? So when it's run out, your subscription, your free one, are you going to buy it?
Well, I forgot that it ran out and it accidentally renewed. So I've got Prime now for a year. So yeah, I'm a bit going on a wee detour. There's not an awful lot on Prime. There's a couple of TV shows that I'm interested in, but after that,
I've got it, man. And I do Prime for a month, and then I do Netflix for a month, and then. There's something that'll come on Netflix and I want to watch that, so then that'll probably do me for a while. But there's times when there's nothing on Netflix, but Amazon Prime are really dodgy. The way that they only give you the first season for free.
And you've got to pay for it.
And you've got to pay for the other episodes, and they charge you like...
It's quite a lot.
It is quite a lot. You could basically buy the DVD. For the prices that
you've already paid £79.
But they charge you for the pleasure of streaming it, and it goes in your video library.
All right. So once you've stopped paying for Amazon Prime, presumably
it goes away.
You keep it. Oh,
no, it doesn't.
Surprise,
it goes away.
Surprise!
You've got access to your account. It's bullshit, to be honest.
But yeah, Amazon Prime.
That's well, man, Highcastle
sponsor us. And shall we touch on Making a Murderer next time?
Yeah, I mean the ship might have sailed on that. I mean, it seemed to become huge, and then everyone's like, "Ah, I've seen that, finished it,
binged it."
But
long story short, it makes your blood boil. It's great.
Oh,
it's so.
I think it's almost like it is a case of you couldn't write that. Like, it was so horrible, so gripping,
yeah.
Like to watch, but you couldn't script it.
No, there's a lot of like it is very like legal battle-y type show, but it's. Probably the most interesting legal battle-y type show that you've seen. It's not even a show, it's a documentary.
Yeah.
But just some of the stuff is utterly incredible in it, and I mean that in the worst way possible.
If you don't know what it's about, just watch it.
Watch it,
that's the best way. Just go in without knowing nothing about it and just watch it. Because if you read about it and that, it kind of ruins it.
Yeah. I go in blind and just.
Go in blind.
Go in blind. And speaking of which,
well, that was well winged.
Yeah, speaking of which, I went in blind on Until Dawn, the PS4 game.
I went in blind in Dawn. What?
Until Dawn. Until Dawn. No, that still doesn't sound good. Which is a horror decision based movie style game based all around the butterfly effect, which is a butterflies causing a hurricane elsewhere in the world, but it's literally like every single decision you make affects the story, and there's a really intricate way that they've done it. But the story of it is 8 characters that you play as all can survive, all can die, they're all teenagers, so like there's some obvious questionable dialogue and choices that they kind of force you into make, but none of them
like a cheesy horror.
One of it is basically like, yeah, let's go up to the cabin, just the two of us.
Yeah, and nothing have sex. Heck, baby. Yeah. I'll take
two. So they deserve to die.
No, the good thing about it, you don't need to let them die, but the good thing about it is that they're actually both quite likeable, so you're guiding them through it anyway, and the story's that good that you just kind of don't want to, and to the fact that they can die, you don't want them to on your first playthrough. But anyway.
What happens if you do want them to die?
Yeah, I've not done that yet. I'll do my third playthrough. But this story set for like 1 year from a tragic incident involving two of the former members of the group. The group reassembled in the same place the tragedy happened, that a year later, to rally around their friend for support. But strange things start to happen. Oh. As soon as they get up to this mansion in the middle of the woods in a snowy mountain, in what seems like probably the middle of the winter. But it was a great idea in the first place, but it wouldn't be a good game if it was in the middle of a city in the summer.
Oh yeah, no.
So you know, no, the setting is great, the graphics are unbelievable, environments totally immerse you into the story, like woods, snow, darkness, and the mansion itself. Music very, very good at creating an atmosphere, but the best part about it for me is the attention to detail that they have and how you play the game. So there's like six menus that you start off with on your R1 screen, because pauses, but R1 takes you straight to all the status screens. First one is relationship with other characters and how you're playing this person as a character, such as with their own character traits, like, you know, honest, reliable, friend, like whatever else, I can't remember it. There's things called totems, because there's part of the story that revolves around it being around the Native American type
burial site.
It's not a burial site, it's territory. Right. So there's five totems that you can find, and what they are, they're death, danger, fortune, guidance, and loss. And while you're going through the story, you can pick up these little pieces when you find them, and they give you a flash forward into the story of a possible scenario that can happen depending on what decisions you make. The relationships determine some major and minor plot developments depending on, for example, how strong your relationship is with a certain character. If it's like top end, or maybe a little bit less than that, that literally hinges on a flare gun being shot or not, and that has major implications.
Aye.
Later on, there's other things such as someone being taken away by something and a character having to chase them to, you know, get them to safety. It depends on what route you take, what happens next. And there's QTEs and everything like that, but it's like a thoroughly engrossing game first time around, because you're playing it so cautiously, because I wanted everyone to survive. Didn't matter if they were dickheads or not, I still wanted to get through the game feeling like I'd beaten it.
Yeah.
But I only ended up with two at the end of it. One of them I wanted to. One of them was the nicest character in the game, and the other one was the biggest arsehole in the game.
And you inadvertently like make the wrong choice. Like if you make a choice when you're prompted to, it's like the obvious choice is actually the wrong choice.
Yeah, sometimes it teaches you a thing very, very near the start. It says sometimes doing nothing is the best option. And
put the controller in for the whole game. There you go.
That's another thing I've forgotten. Actually, that's a part of the game too. Doing nothing is sometimes the best thing to do, because if you choose to make a decision or not, it can majorly affect a game in one certain area. And I won't spoil anything like that, but there are certain points in the game where it makes use of the motion control in the PS4 controller. So there's parts when you have to stay deadly still. If you move, then that's like a bad choice being made. So you're literally sitting there still as you can with your controller, like trying not to breathe, just so your hands don't move and everything like that. It's
amazing. Stop playing that. Somebody who's going to eat your face off.
Maybe.
My imagination's all over this, man. I need to play this game.
Now that you've said that, it's a lot different from what I imagine, from what I've heard, because I know that this game got a lot of negative reviews when it came out. Like it got a really bad score when it first came out, and kind of went under the radar a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny you should mention that. I went on went online to have a look at what reviews were saying about it when I bought it. I only bought it about a month ago or something, and I just saw generally favourable reviews.
Right.
They all said it was pretty good, and I mean from my own perspective, I really, really enjoyed it, and I've got my second playthrough just now. I'm just using a guide because I want to get all the different totem parts and ace it and everything, and then the third time around I'm just going to destroy everyone. But there's another good thing about it, which is the trophy system, which rewards you for choices, good and bad.
Okay.
So if there's parts where you, even if you know whether or not you should make the bad decision,
just do it anyway.
You do it anyway.
Good.
You know, and you get a trophy for these things, and there's just brilliant parts in it. There's like really good attention to detail.
You'd do that, Greg. You'd be all for the bad decisions.
Oh, you
definitely. Like,
the game will be finished in about 20 minutes for you.
Oh, definitely. Aye. It's like, oh, remain still. Fucking shit the controller.
I thought it was really good. Really, really enjoyed it, and it's, for me, it's got a good replayability factor to it, and I'd recommend it.
Max out of 10, Richard.
I would give it. I'd give it a 7.5 to an 8. I'm swithering between the two. 7.5 sounds about right. 8 doesn't sound too high, and 7 doesn't sound too low. So like, I think 7.5. Like, it's not. It's not like. No, fuck it, I'm going to go for an 8.
Oof.
An 8.
An 8?
Really, really enjoyed it.
Clever first time, didn't
it? I thought it was great first time around.
How long's it last?
It depends on how cautious you play.
It's a fairly short game, though, isn't it?
If you go...
About a week, yeah.
If you basically, like, if you go in or buzz out, is it quite short?
Well, I'm playing it through with a guide. It's been much shorter. I did, like, the first 6 episodes in an afternoon. But it took me, like... I was playing hour-long sessions sometimes because you're wanting to make sure you see everything and do everything and blah, 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 etc. Well, I did anyway, but really enjoyed the game. And if you're a horror fan or you're a fan of decision-based games like the Telltale ones, like this is, I think this is a step up from the way the Telltale games work. It was different.
Aye.
But for me, if war games were like that, I'd be playing them a lot more.
Could they, I know we're running out of time, but could the argument be made for this game that it isn't a game, it's a movie?
I suppose you could say
the Walking, like the Telltale games aren't.
Oh no, this isn't a criticism, but it can be.
I know the Walking Dead Telltale games are not games. They're not what I look for in a game.
How do you?
They're just little movies, animated movies that you occasionally press a button to make a decision.
How do you?
I know what you mean,
but I can still be up for it, but it's a different type of thing.
I think this could qualify as both depending on the way you look at it, and I'd look at it as an interactive movie, because I mean essentially it, like the purpose of it is to play it as a movie, but there are like obvious gaming elements to it, so it's
that's fine.
Interactive movie sounds about right.
That's
with
cool.
Just
that's
a
all good.
Ton of different scenarios. And the 6 venues are really cool as well. Just to rattle these out quickly. So you've got the totems, you've got the relationship status, you've got... there's a mystery man that you need to find clues for. There's another menu that's got people called the Twins on it, and there's another one called 1952, which has a specific reason for being there in the story. And the last one is a set of like butterfly wings that give you... loads of different how your choices have affect the game type things, so you can go back through them and go,
so it is a butterfly effect.
So so you go like, you did this and this is how it affected this part of the
it
game,
it branches
blah, blah, blah.
Like, and lets you know. That's pretty cool.
It's good, and I would recommend it, and I'm going to stick with an 8, and that's where I'm going to go.
Cool.
An 8.5.
Nah, he's got an 8.
12 out of 10. Done. Are we done?
I think we're done.
I forgot the bell.
Ding it, Greg.
Ba-ding. Back by popular demand. No, not the podcast. The quiz.
Amongst ourselves.
Yes.
Yay.
Yeah, good. Oh, we've got 2 cheers.
I'd be kind of scared if we got 3.
Oh, well, yeah, I could cheer.
I mean, well, 4 then.
Right, anyway, cut shit. Right, so, as we all know, quiz consists of 10 questions. I think if I think back to last time, the spooktacular quiz.
Oh, yes.
I can't remember who won that.
Doesn't matter, season 2 now.
Doesn't matter, right?
It was me.
Actually, you reversed the decision at the end of it, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yes, I do remember that now. Right, doesn't matter anyway. It's a brand new season, brand new score, it's 0-0. Right, start the game.
It's a reboot.
Make it.
Reboot, right. That's right. Yeah.
Because I am vastly underprepared, there is a...
No change there. Glasses permanent, see?
Stick to what I know. There is no buzzers. So what do you want to do for buzzers? Tommy?
I will shout my own name.
You have to shout the words my own name. Richard?
I will clink two bottles together.
This could end badly. Okay, cool, that's fine. Right, so again, rules are 10 questions. Whatever I decide the answer is the answer. Right, I've got some answers written down, other ones I'll just make up.
We've done this before.
We haven't. I'm just letting people know how it works. Tommy, they give me a fucking cheat code, it's minus a point. Okay, so... this quiz is a... I was going to do one about people being back, kind of glorious returns, but I can't think of anybody who... But, well, at all, apart from Backstreet Boys.
Backstreet's back, mm-hmm. Returning the Mac.
Returning the Mac, one of the greatest songs of music history. Mm-hmm.
Actually, now that you've said that, if I'd actually put any effort in, I probably could have done a quiz like that, but I haven't. So, this one is called According to Google.
Oh, nice.
So it's things that I have.
I think this could have been like the proxy name for any number of
things. It is things I have verified. Is that one cheat? Yeah, that's it. That's minus one.
Yes!
So, right. So before we even started, Richard, anyway, let's crack on. Question one. This is a genuine question, just to let you know, right? What type of sportsmen are most likely to get diseased anuses or rectums?
What? Rowing.
Oh, close. Unlucky though. Tommy?
Do I have to say my own name?
Whatever you want.
My own name.
Right.
I'm going to say swimmers.
Close as well, but no, no cigar. It is water skiers.
Ah.
It's not a funny answer, genuinely. They have bad bumholes.
And what a question to start with.
Okay, so it's currently... Well, Richard's winning with nothing.
What did you Google for that?
Bumholes. I was on X-Hamster. Right, question two.
What's that?
Why won't a bicycle stand on its own?
It's one of these ones.
It is one of those ones.
Why aren't they?
Because it doesn't have any legs.
No, that's even worse than what I've got right there. No, Tommy, that's wrong. Richard?
Why doesn't it stand on its own? It's really good at standing up.
No, it's there's two answers to this. It's because it's
genuine.
Because it's too tired. You like that, Tommy? You like that? Right, okay. Question three. No. Game face, right? In Arizona, what can you have no more than two of per household? There's probably a lot of answers to this question, but I've got one answer that I'm down.
Alligators.
I don't know if that's right. I have no idea if that's right, but I've not got it written down. Not according to Google.
No.
Tommy?
My own name.
Yes?
Rattlesnakes.
No. The answer is... the answer's dildos. Now, can anyone give me for a bonus point why?
I really don't understand.
I don't understand the question.
If you're allowed one, why can't you have more than one?
You can't, you have two. You can't have more than two.
You can't have more than two.
Huh.
That seems perfectly reasonable.
Is it something to do with plastic?
No, nothing to do with that. Nothing is...
Nothing is...
It's basically, apparently, according to Google, if you own more than two dildos, the premises is classed as a brothel.
Oh.
There you go.
Interesting.
All right, that's shit. Every day's a school day.
Better shut down my house in Arizona.
I'm just putting X's next to the questions that you've got wrong.
Okay.
So that's three so far. Okay, so question four. What do you get if you throw a hand grenade into an Italian man's bathroom?
I don't know how to answer this. I feel like... Is the bathroom occupied?
Well, you got to buzz in that to answer the question. You can't ask a question.
A fucked up bathroom.
Tommy?
Definitely not, though.
I'm not even going to answer this one.
Nah. Okay, the answer is 15 years in prison.
It's pretty lenient.
Okay, Okay, question five. It's currently, I'll give a recap of the scores. It's currently Richard on nothing and Tommy on minus one.
Damn it.
See that cheek pay off, eh? Right.
And that's what I'm relying on.
It's basically a quiz that you see who's the shittest. Right. Question five. What is a pirate's favourite letter of the alphabet? Richard.
Now, traditionally, I would say R. That's what I'm sticking with, actually.
Is that what you're going with?
That's what I'm going to stick with. R.
Tommy,
R.
Do you want to?
That was going to say R.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, the answer is actually none. Historians have proven that most pirates were illiterate. So, none. It's facts. Facts are fun, Tommy.
Facts are fun.
Cool.
Facts are fun.
Facts are fun.
Facts are fun.
Okay. You'll get the answer to this. Just depends who buzzes in first. Question six. What is the main ingredient of a mince pie? Richard.
Pastry.
No. Tell me.
Lots of fucked up parts of all different animals.
Which kind of mince pie are we talking about here?
Well, my original tactic was if one of you said fruit, I'd say no, it's mince. But seriously, you're both giving ridiculous answers, none gets a point.
Oh. So what was the answer?
Fruit or mince. I could just change it whatever I wanted. So the quiz worked, Tommy. You've been here long enough.
Oh, fuck's sake. I'm so unprepared, Tommy.
I'm not having fun.
No one is, Tommy. Okay.
Oh, great time.
Question seven. Should I do a recap of the scores? Just
aye, please.
Right, it's Richard on nothing, Tommy on minus one. Look interested, Tommy. You're trying to look interested. Okay.
Backhander there.
Seven. Question seven. Jaffa cake. Cake or biscuit?
Oh, my name. My own name.
My own name.
It's obviously a cake.
Biscuit.
It's a cake. As decided by the 1991 VAT tribunal, it's a cake.
I remember.
So that's literally been proven now.
Yeah, it's a cake.
So when someone says, biscuit, you can go shut the fuck up, it's in there.
You see, has it been proven now? It was proven in 1991.
But it seems like people have been...
Facts are fucking
years.
Fun. That's what it is. That's this short fact. Nodge.
I'm going to direct people straight to Google the next time someone calls it a biscuit. 1991 VAT tribunal.
I think if you Google 1991 tribunal, VAT tribunal, you'll find it's actually a cake. Okay, so it's 0-0.
Yes!
This is exciting times.
I'm back in the game.
I'm back in the
Man,
game and
done. Can't believe you've caught up.
Okay. Only three questions to go. Question eight. Which mammal holds the record of having the quickest sexual intercourse?
You.
That's a point for Richard. Yeah, it's a point for you. And the actual factual answer, if you want facts, because facts are fun.
Yeah, that is a fact. Am I not getting them? Oh, no, because you got the question right.
Do you have any idea how quizzes work, though?
I know how normal quizzes work. I don't know how your quiz works.
The answer is actually a chimpanzee. Three seconds.
3 seconds?
I can beat that.
That's why I'm in the kind of predicament that I'm in. Anyway, so Richard gets a point for that. Right. This is my favourite question of the lot.
Yeah,
so buckle in. Question nine. What is the opposite to Domino's?
Oh, my own name, Pizza Hut.
Oh, good answer, no. If you get this, you win, because no one's going to get this.
I don't know.
No, you don't know, right? Okay, so I'm going to tell you, I'll say the question again. I'll phrase it slightly differently so that it makes sense because it looks better.
Well, just do that the first time.
Shut up. What is the opposite to Domino's? Dom doesn't know. Dom, he knows. Dom, he doesn't know.
You didn't Google that one. Ken, you just see fucking. You're scraping the bottom of the barrel.
I'm taking a point for that.
Greg has entered the quiz.
Right, so I'm tied first. Right. And the. The last question is question 10. Auto play for you. Exciting times.
I'm so excited.
So Tommy gets a point. Have you got a tiebreaker?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
Tommy, I'm gonna let you on. No, you're gonna, no.
I'll decide. It's my fucking quiz.
Sorry.
How many steps would you have to take before you reach the first level of the Eiffel Tower?
From where?
That's not the question.
say again, please.
How many steps would you have to take before you reach the first level of the Eiffel Tower?
My own name?
Yes.
25.
No. Richard?
None, because the ground level surely counts.
Not as the first level, no.
The first of the question was a fucking fuck.
No. You guys are trying to be too clever. I've got proper answers. Proper answers 300. I would have accepted, though. It depends where you're walking from.
See, right, okay.
But
oh man!
But because obviously, like, you're winning, Richard. You've won after 10 questions. Well, I say that you have an exam
won,
as well.
One, so. Right? Okay, but
I'll do the quotas. So did I get a point?
Yeah, he'll give you a point as well, Tommy. I think.
Yes.
This seems to be a running theme of these quizzes, isn't it?
It doesn't matter how many questions, what the score is. There's always going to be a tiebreaker.
I've got two tiebreakers, and none of them are particularly funny.
Are we going to draw on tiebreakers?
Hmm?
Right, I'm not going.
They're not particularly funny. There's okay. On average, in your lifetime, how long do you spend on the toilet?
My own name.
Yes.
I'm going to say a tenth.
A tenth? Now you have a time frame, Tommy. Like,
well, how long is my lifetime?
Well, look, okay, the average person's like, did I fucking get snippy with me, Tommy? I'll take a point off you right now.
Okay,
okay,
say
overall,
average is what then?
The average is. I don't know what that is.
He's asking
questions
now, Craig.
Fuck, I feel the pressure now. The average lifetime is like when someone is born to the time.
You're fucking done. Right, so you want to answer, right? I'm going to say 5 years.
Richard?
I'm going to say 2.5 years.
I suppose you could factor in the fact that if someone has really bad bladder issues, then it would be longer. But the answer, according to Google, is 3 years.
Oh.
So that means today's winner is Richard.
Fucking travesty. Richard's a lot of
shit. Really, Tommy? Really?
Shocking. I've already lost, so I didn't care.
Minus one. Minus one for next time.
I won't forget. Tommy, you're on the quiz next time, so you start with minus one.
It's Tommy on the quiz next time.
I'll start next one.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Oh, I want to see you. Nice. Remember, this is rotation.
I didn't think of that.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I can't win it. Anyway. I'm confident. I am confident. Right, I feel like I need to have some sort of theme tune.
Well, go for it.
I haven't got a theme tune. It was just a thought. The only tune going through my head is trying to come dancing.
Time for Craig's quiz, and then it's time for Craig's quiz again.
And I want your ding, but.
Oh, yeah, you want your ding,
but. Ding.
Ding. No, I think we can all agree that that was a glorious return for us on the podcast, and I think you know, it's been a success, especially for me.
Especially for whom? What do you say, Tommy?
I'd say, especially for me.
Well, that's fair. That's entirely fair opinion. I like it.
I think everyone wins. I'll be honest.
I think everyone's. That's a good way to put it. Everyone.
If you've made it through the podcast to this point, you're a winner.
Yeah. You're a winner in our eyes. So thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We are now selling comics. We are now selling issues of The Plight, issue number one. At Forbidden Planet in Edinburgh, in Deadhead Comics in Edinburgh, we are going to be at Dunfermline Comic Con on the 5th of March. Google the venue. And hopefully we'll be able to tell you other places that we're going to be stocked soon, and hopefully we'll be having an option of being able to order online very shortly too. Because we know all of our fans in places like Vanuatu and Hawaii and
Sighthill.
Google that as well. You're all wanting a copy.
Sighthill.
And we'd be happy to furnish you with one for just a small amount of your earnings.
For a few nuggets.
A few nuggets. get in touch with us for details on Twitter, at Desert Wales, on Instagram, which we've gained a little bit of activity on recently, I think. Have we?
Well, there was a problem with it.
All right, okay. Well, that's at The Desert Wales. You want to get in touch with us?
I was trying to post every day updates in that, but...
I ran out of data.
That was it.
And Wi-Fi doesn't exist.
The internet ran out of data. the internet finished. I'm about to get some new internets.
Jeez. The internet was full.
So you had to order a new internet?
Yeah.
All right, this is like an IT Crowd reference, like now.
Yeah. I had to order a new internet using the internet.
Well, that's a perfectly reasonable excuse.
Yeah.
So I'll let you off this time. Email us, thedesertwales@gmail.com. We've got our Facebook page up and running, so just search for us on Facebook.
Desert Wales Comics.
Yeah, Desert Wales Comics, because we went through an identity crisis and now have two names, apparently.
We're so bad at this, we don't even know how to use Facebook.
Well, no, we've got better at it.
Oh, we've got better at it. I mean, we couldn't get much worse, to be honest.
Past tense, didn't know.
Didn't know how to do it. It's all part of this learning curve.
That's it, yep, that's it.
We're on this journey together.
That's it. So you've plenty of options to get in touch with us.
That's the biggest thing I've ever said.
Really? Probably not. But yes, get in touch with us. Please do get in touch with us, because we're all for your thoughts and opinions. And this season 2 will be returning in the near future. And we are planning on getting some guests in the season.
We've got Gandhi booked in.
Gandhi is booked in. He said he's going to do the podcast. He just needs to let us know when he's available, just when he gets off work.
He's not bumping us off.
He works in Ladbrokes now.
He needs to get some annual leave sorted out, and then he's going to be on. Same with Jesus. Jesus is going to be with us.
Double header.
Double header. Jesus. It's going to be a head to head debate. It's not.
Oh, imagine a quiz on that. I like that.
Which one of you? Never mind. Nope. get in touch with us. Blah 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 blah, and. We'll see you on it, but we won't see you. We'll speak to you next time on the Desert Wales Podcast.
Use the bell.
Ba-ding.
Oh, shit.